You got the touch.
I'm Stan Bush, and I dare you to listen to All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike.
You are listening to All Things Transformers. Maximals, maximize.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike. Transform and roll out!
Transformers!
And welcome to All Things Transformers, episode 37. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me as always is...
37?
Yeah.
No, you're missing the joke. Never mind.
Huh?
37? My girlfriend sucked 37 at once? It's a Clerks reference. People...
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen Clerks? Anyway...
No, I'm a deprived geek.
I'm TFG1 Mike. I can't believe with your holier-than-thou Netflix subscription, you have not seen Clerks.
No.
You need to put that in your queue, and you'll get what I meant.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of people telling me references from it, and I always have no idea what the hell they're talking about. So,
anyways, this is a Transformers podcast, not Clerks.
True.
It's a new year. This is our first episode, new year, new decade, first episode of 2010.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
But wait, there's more. Yeah, also in the process of this, besides the massive amounts of content coming out for Geekcast Radio, the Beast Unleashed Episode 1 will be out this coming Monday.
Yes. And they will air every other Monday, so it'll be the Monday after the following Monday that episode 2 will be out. And you say that like it's a bad thing.
What? The about it coming out Monday?
No, about the content.
Oh, no, it's cool. I'm not bashing it at all, actually. The only thing I can bash is my lack of fucking free time to actually record.
True.
Which sucks ass.
Very true. You know, it's a good thing that I was able to wrangle around the issue that you brought up to me yesterday off air so we could actually get that recording done for Beast Unleashed.
True.
Anyways, we've kind of already covered the whole Christmas thing, New Year's thing in the other shows a little bit. I guess I can go into probably the only news topic that we're going to be talking about here. War for Cybertron, Developers Podcast, Ironhide Design. Game Informer concludes their month-long coverage of Transformers War for Cybertron today with a special edition podcast. The podcast kicks off with a piece of music from the game itself, and then leaps into a full hands-on first impressions preview of the game. Key points from the podcast include the game is third-person shooter with gameplay like Gears of War, the cover can be destroyed, fully destructible environments, the backgrounds and backdrops will not be static, things will happen in the non-PC world, or NPC world, such as Energon being transported, machinery working, maybe even cameos. Story missions and co-op are confirmed. A team of at least three other characters is confirmed. There will also be both multiplayer and single-player modes. Three vehicle classes, tanks, jets, and other unmentioned class. Depending on the classes and your abilities, the levels will be multi-tiered and have different paths. For jets, this means multiple vertical levels to explore. All characters have two different time-based skills, e.g. shield, invisibility, teleport, etc. Storyline is one of the story broken into two interlocking parts, Decepticon campaign first half and Autobot campaign last half. It's an origin story. The second level is set to explain Starscream and Megatron's relationship. The first level was previously confirmed as being the tale of the first meeting of Megatron and Starscream. Many of the G1 actors are coming back to reprise their original roles. A formal announcement will be made at a later date in 2010. However, Peter Cullen is confirmed as Optimus Prime. Hasbro has said this game is canon. Okay, I'm not gonna... I'm not gonna read down just for a second because, holy crap, this game is gonna be awesome.
Oh yeah, no doubt. This is going to be the biggest Transformers game of all time.
This is gonna be like the best Transformers game of all time. Holy crap. What it says at the bottom here, there is also a spoiler in the podcast revealing the nature of the final battle for the Decepticon side of the campaign. If you have been following the coverage so far, you should have an idea of what this means, but we won't spoil it for you here. In other news, the official Transformers War for Cybertron homepage has been updated with a new batch of clips. The clips show off the usual fleeting glimpses of the game. However, one of the new clips gives our first clear look at War for Cybertron Ironhide. Check out the still from the video taken by Mr. Nightmare of our 2005 boards. And again, this story was posted on TFW2005.com December 31st, 2009. So it's about 6 days old, but, you know, we haven't done an HETF since the new year, so... But just, wow. Like, all of that... Like, I have to, like, go listen to that podcast after we're done with this, because hopefully it's an audio. Hopefully it's not video.
Oh, it's audio. I listened to it actually 2 days ago at work.
Oh, did you? Cool.
Yeah, and it's basically the whole thing is being done by a bunch of Transformers fanboys.
Well,
so no, well, I mean, obviously, I mean, it's they want it to stay true to the Transformers line. It's basically like War Within, canon. With the original voice actors.
Well, and I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, my problem comes with the fact that I know nothing about War Within. So, I mean, you know, I don't read the comics, unfortunately. I don't have money to be spending on comics nowadays because I'm spending it on all of these other things. So, I mean, that's really my main thing is I don't have... really that much knowledge on the comic aspect of it, but at least it's not movieverse. Thank God it's not movieverse. Oh my God, that would piss me off.
Yes, that would suck. Yes. Giant, yes. Insert Devastator balls here.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm glad it's not movieverse. I'm glad that they the formula that's worked so well for them in the past. Which is the G1 universe.
Yes. And I think it's great that they're... Because I did watch part of the coverage on Game Informer about the designers talking about the world and everything else. And the way that they put it was that, you know, this game takes place on Cybertron. We haven't had a game before, to my knowledge... that was actually based on Cybertron. Both the 2002 Atari Armada game and the movie games are based on Earth.
Well, I gotta take you... there is one level in the Armada. Mm-hmm. Should you get that far, that... Cybertron, but technically it's in orbit of Cybertron.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, but...
Yeah, you don't actually see anything on Cybertron besides the physical planet being blown to hell.
Right. We've never had a game that takes... Oh, alright, the best way I can describe it to you is the end of Beast Wars. going into Beast Machines, they return to Cybertron.
But it doesn't show it.
No. It does. They're on Cybertron the entire friggin' time during Beast Machines.
Oh, I know. I'm saying at the end of Beast Wars, you don't see anything.
You don't see that they've... At the end of Beast Wars, you see them leaving to go back to Cybertron, but you don't actually see them arrive. They're already there. But what I'm saying is, take Beast Machines, which they're already on. That whole storyline is set on Cybertron. That's the same thing with this game. The whole storyline is set pre-Earth. It's set before the Autobots and Decepticons came to Earth. Which I think that's great, because if you go back and you look at the best example I can give you is Hot Rod's trip into the Matrix. When he short-circuits himself and finds out the history of the Transformers in G1. You know, I think that's great that they're doing that they're not doing that specific thing what I just mentioned, but they're doing pre-Earth story. It has nothing to do with Earth whatsoever. It has everything to do with Cybertron. And I think that's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. I think that's going to be pretty kick-ass, too. I actually can't wait to see this game and what consoles it comes out for or what platforms. I hope it comes out for the PC, although if it does, I can imagine this is going to be one hell of a system requirement.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of voting for the... I know it's going to come out for, of course, Xbox 360 and the PS3. Just because of the HD technology. I hope that it comes out for the Wii, and I hope that it works for the GameCube controller.
Yes.
Because I just couldn't imagine playing this on the Wiimotes.
Yeah, no. Not it being third person, no.
No, there's no way. I mean, it would suck royally. Unless they had you turn the Wiimote sideways and use it that way, like a Nintendo controller.
Yeah, true.
Which, I could see it then, but at the same time.
You know, the Wii is basically for first-person games. That's what, I mean, unless you're using the GameCube controller, but I mean, as far as like the Wiimote and stuff, it's for first-person games like snowboarding and all that happy Nintendo bullshit. Nintendo sucks ever since they stopped producing the Super Nintendo. Anyway.
Well, they're kind of going back to some of the Super Nintendo controller ways with that Wiimote. You just turn it sideways and don't use the nunchuck, and it plays just like.
Okay. This looks really, really promising. And I don't think it's getting... It's getting hype, and all of us fans are getting really excited about it, but I don't think it's being overhyped.
No.
There isn't a whole lot of activity on this where, like, take Revenge of the Fallen. All the pre-news we had. All the news we had before it even got shooting. After it finished shooting and it was close to release, they started doing rumors about the third movie, and the second one hadn't even fucking come out. With this game, that's not happening, and I love that. I mean, we're getting just enough news to make us excited for it, but it's not oversaturated like Revenge of the Fallen was.
No, that was just insane.
Yes, was. but yeah, this game looks really awesome.
Yeah, I definitely cannot wait to get my hands on this.
Yes. And that's pretty much all the news stories we're going to talk about is just that one story, because everything else is all toy related and most of it is Revenge of the Fallen toys, and
Yeah, and neither one of us collect the ROTF.
I mean, I guess...
Crap line.
Yeah. Well, I do have Ravage. I mean, he was the only one that I really liked, only because I liked his design in the movie, but I guess I could bring up one other thing. Also, on December 31st last year, Shattered Glass Heroic Decepticon Cyclonus will be a Collector's Club exclusive toy in 2010. Pete Sinclair has dropped by our 2005 boards to let us know the second Transformers Collector's Club store exclusive for 2010 will be Shattered Glass Cyclonus. This Hot Rod-inspired version of Cyclonus' Heroic Decepticon, with slightly conflicted allegiances, he will be a redeco of the Universe Classics 2.0 Cyclonus mold. Shattered Glass Cyclonus will be a companion piece to the upcoming Collectors Club exclusive Punch Counterpunch, and will be available to members and non-members alike through the Collectors Club online store. I honestly could give a crap less. I love Universe Cyclonus. Don't get me wrong. I do love him.
But that's kind of an ugly paint scheme.
Dude, they made Hot Rod a jet. No. Just no. I wish there was a picture of the Cyclonus. Because right now the only picture that they have there is the jet mode with I guess it's supposed to be Nightstick. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be Firebolt. I don't know. But I wish they had a picture of the robot mode so I could see it in robot mode to see what it looks like. But I don't like that color scheme whatsoever. Not for Cyclonus.
Yeah.
Even in the... No. Just no. I guess we can get into the discussion topic, which is what? Where the hell did you go?
My dog unplugged my microphone.
Okay.
Yes.
Damn animals.
Yeah. Well, the animal was moving in my face in front of the microphone, so I pushed her off me, and then she took the cord with her.
Ugh.
Yes. Retarded animals. Anyways, I will introduce new topics into the show later on. Well, not topics, but segments, which will probably jump back and forth between this show and The Beast Unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
Such as, like, the depending on if we get enough content.
Such as the...
What's that?
Such as the what? What did you say?
The, ask a host or ask a character.
Okay.
But, yeah, so the topic for today is, yes, not very well thought out, but it was an idea I got yesterday when we were talking on Twitter of... what we wish Hasbro would have made for the Transformers line, whether it be an accessory set or things to aid the figures or additional figures. Kind of like how the knockoff type add-ons are.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm not going to talk about armor upgrades because, yeah, everybody in... their brother doing those.
Yeah.
More so what I'm getting at are like the physical bridge areas or locations on their ships or whether it be shuttles or just, you know, just little accessories like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do have, now granted it's not Hasbro, but some third party thing has that Autobot. Oh, what is it? The Autobot base thing.
From, yeah, it's got Teletran.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not something Hasbro did. It's a. Don't get me wrong. I like third-party stuff. I like the way a lot of the fans project stuff is. But first of all, I can't afford it right now. Second of all, it's not a Hasbro thing, so it doesn't. It counts, but it doesn't really because Hasbro didn't do it. I almost wish that Hasbro would just buy out Fans Project and just make them a part of Hasbro. I know that's not going to happen, but...
Yeah, that would be nice, because then at least we'd get some...
official stuff.
Yeah, some official stuff and some quality... they could do some quality control and mass produce, and which also it's sad that this company is coming out with cheaper... not cheaper necessarily, but better quality parts for some of these than some of the figures themselves.
Yeah. I am just looking at, because I know back in the day, back in 2000, 2001, you know, of course, Hasbro's been making toys for years. I don't understand why they couldn't make a good show-accurate Beast Machines Cheetor. I'm looking at the BM toy, the Mega version, and the Mega version is just ugly as hell.
Yes. Most of the Beast Machines line, I'm sorry, it went down. No, unless it was a Viacon, they really they missed their mark on most of the figures for that line.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Supreme version of Cheetor, which is the one after the Ultra. And again, no, this is not show accurate at all.
No, my brother actually had that figure, and it was it barely stood. It had to prop up against things, yeah. And it was so ungodly tall.
Yeah.
That it dwarfed Optimal Optimus and every other figure, when in actuality, Optimal Optimus should have dwarfed all the rest of them.
Yes. You know, I'm just looking at different Beast Machine stuff. I mean, not really, like, I'm not going to make it all about Beast Machines, but damn, that's where they kind of screwed up, I think, is the Beast Machines line.
Just, yeah, Beast Machines, well, I mean, especially, look at Primal. They didn't finally get right until they released him in the Rid line.
Yeah, true.
The Blast Punch Optimus Primal, that was the only good Primal we got for Beast Machines, and it was after the show was already done.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't like the Primal, and I mean, I don't really want to go too much into this because it's going to carry over into Beast Unleashed once we get to Beast Machines, but I didn't like the design for Primal in the cartoon for Beast Machine. I don't know what it is. I like the robot mode, but the monkey mode, that's an ugly fucking monkey. I'm sorry. It just is.
Yeah, I can't say I was entirely thrilled with it either.
I mean, what else do you think Hasbro should have made or didn't make or whatever?
Well, I think, honestly, they should have, like, I mean, I know other companies are doing, like, the G1 stuff. I think, and this, I'm very biased on this, but this is because I am a huge Beast Wars fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should have made stasis pods.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think they should have made, you know, a certain size, because I know when I was growing up with this, I used to make Lego stasis pods. Which had to be friggin' huge just to fit anything in them, because all these figures, I mean, unless I had a basic or a, up to a mega, that's about all I could fit in there.
Yeah.
But that would have been a really cool feature to have, considering how often they used that plot device.
Right.
And, shit, they could have made the Predacon bridge as well as the Maximal bridge for how often they showed either one of those as well.
True. Very true.
They used both of them right up until the end of Season 3. That would have been a really cool set. I mean, look at G.I. Joe. They get an accessory set, vehicle, that bases every time a new show comes out.
Well, the thing with G.I. Joe is, especially with the older show, with the Sunbow show, we talked about that in Tooncast episode 25. Yeah, I think Kevin mentioned that giant-ass helicarrier, that six-foot-long helicarrier. You don't set in toys nowadays. I mean, unless it's a Lego set and you have to actually physically build it, you don't see that in toys these days.
No.
So, you know, I think it would have been cool, you know, like you're saying, get some sort of play set or some sort of something with Beast Wars or Beast Machines for even the Ark when they went into all that G1 stuff in Season 2.
Yeah, had the bridge to the Ark. I mean, that would have been an awesome thing just to have right there, just even if it were to lay your G1 figures in it for a display piece and have the Beast Wars guys standing around Prime's laying body.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very, very much so.
Statue of Prime after he had his head burnt to a crisp. That would have been awesome, by the way. But
that's the only time that I and again, I'm kind of getting ahead of ourselves because we're not there in Beast Unleashed yet. That's the only time I could not stand Beast Wars Megatron.
I loved it.
Only time. Well, it's because you didn't grow up on G1, you sick bastard.
That is true.
You just don't rip off the head of G1 Optimus Prime. You just don't do it. Anyways. I'm just looking up some stuff here on Wiki because there's, you know, I for most people that know me, or know, most people that will listen to this show or listen to any of the other shows that I do, especially ToyCast, I have, like, the biggest Jones for Mighty Mugs now. Don't ask me why. I have no freaking clue. I honestly have no idea how this started. I know it started with the Transformers ones, Wave 1, which is G1 Optimus, Bumblebee, Megatron, and Soundwave. After I bought those and had those in hand, I actively sought out all of the other ones. These things are so cool. They just are. As far as the Transformers ones, it lists on Wikipedia.org, not the TF Wiki, but on Wikipedia it lists a fourth wave, which is after the most current wave, which is released this month, the G1 Jazz, Shockwave, Movie Optimus, and Movie Bumblebee. List Wave 4 for Ironhide and Prowl. Now, it's not stated when or if these are coming out, but I think it's good that Wiki has a listing for them, because it means we are getting more Mighty Mugs for the Transformers. It also means I have to spend more money to increase the collection. But anyway, these things are just awesome. You know, you can say what you want about them as far as them not being quote-unquote playable toys, because really, there is no play value in these. They are for collectors. Hell, every time I've ordered one or a case from BigBadToyStore.com, it says in the description, this is an adult collector's item. You know, it is the only non-transforming Transformer that I don't mind shelling out cash for.
Sad thing is, I agree with you. I would never buy an Action Master. If you're getting one of those what they look like figures, yeah, they have to transform, but for a Mighty Mug, no.
Well, and I've said this before, and I'm sure people are tired of me saying this, but sorry about your luck, I'm going to say it again anyway. The Mighty Mugs are for nostalgia purposes. They're for nostalgia purposes. They are for character purposes. They are not for sitting there trying to transform and end up mistransforming them. You know, that's not what they're there for. They're there for character type of things. Perfect example I found the other day, I've been looking at the Marvel ones, and there's a lot of the Marvel ones that I want. I actually have 4 Marvel Mighty Mugs either already on the way or yet to be shipped to me. Thank you very much, Hasbro fucking Toy Shop. One of the things that got me started in the Marvel Mighty Mugs, I found this thing on YouTube called the Superhero Mugs. It's a show on YouTube by Jason Henry. His YouTube account name is Redhead Henry, where he creates stories, and it's like, I don't think he films it, but it's pictures that go, that are like, I don't know, it's kind of like stills put to video, basically. And him and his friends do all the voices for the different characters. And it's just a really, really cool thing, and I really enjoy it. And it's actually made me want to get pretty much every single one of the Marvel ones that have been released so far. Which, again, ow, my wallet. But,
yes.
You know, they're just so cool. I don't know. It's just cool. Other toys that I wish Hasbro would have made. I understand leader class stuff is expensive. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the leader class stuff for animated here in the U.S. was $40. I know for a fact that leader class stuff in Canada is $60 or more. I wish they would have made more leader class TFA figures. I know that we have the Supreme Optimus Prime with the David Cave voice, which is great, but I'm sorry, I'm not paying $40 for an Optimus Prime that basically is a giant-sized version of the Voyager. We only had 3 4, if you count the repaint, but we had, well, actually, no, wait, Megatron, Bulkhead, Ultra Magnus. Megatron and Ultra Magnus had... Yeah, there's five. You got regular gray animated Megatron. You got Shadowblade Megatron, which Michael Wilson calls him Galvatron for some odd friggin' reason. I have no idea why. And then you had the regular Ultra Magnus and Roadbuster Ultra Magnus, plus Bulkhead. Thank God Bulkhead didn't get a repaint. I think that there are a lot of figures in the animated line that would have made good leaders. I like how large the leader figures, again, for me, because they come packaged in robot mode, it's perfect. I don't have to transform them unless I want to get them into vehicle mode, which is very rare. But again, they are good, large representations of a character.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I honestly, I don't have a problem with them. I mean, I probably won't buy many of them. I might at one point get, like, Megatron or Optimus Prime. But I probably won't go too much farther than that just on the classic G1. But that's because I'm more of a Beast Wars fan.
Yeah.
I probably, quite honestly, will buy, if they ever came out with one, a Beast Wars Megatron. In fact, I could almost guarantee if they came out with one, I would buy it.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about Mighty Mug, right?
Yes.
Yeah, see,
any of the forms of Megatron, even if it were Beast Machines. I mean, if they came out with any of the Beast era Megatron.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'd probably buy one if they came out with four.
Right. But as far as, like, leader class figures goes, honestly, the TFA Megatron was out of all the TFA toys that I've bought, it's probably the easiest one that I've transformed without screwing it up. As far as, you know, getting back to the Mighty Mugs, as far as that goes, I don't see why Hasbro would stop making Transformers ones, because the simple fact is there's so many applications to do for that. I mean, there's just so much you can do with those. I mean, yeah, granted, they are basically just painted on versions of the original toys, but again, it's an homage to G1 or, you know, Beast Wars or whatever.
With a low cost factor to them.
Exactly. Hell, they could take, you know, not really the mold, but, well, the Mighty Mug mold is pretty much the same for everything unless you custom sculpt, like with the G1 Jazz one, where the doors are pretty much sculpted onto his body, on his back. But, I mean, you could take any generic Mighty Mug mold and paint it to look like whatever you want it to, but they could take the Grimlock mold, the Grimlock paint design. They could take the Grimlock paint design and apply that to Red Dragon Megatron from Beast Wars, because on Grimlock, on his back, it has an upside-down Tyrannosaurus head. Now, I don't remember off the top of my head where Megatron's Red Dragon head goes in robot mode, but if it went in that same vicinity, you know, that would still be cool.
Yeah, most definitely.
I don't know. What else would you want Hasbro? What else do you want Hasbro to do that they haven't done or wish that they would have done?
I would definitely have to say, I don't know. Pretty much just what I listed before. I mean, I can't really think of anything else at the moment.
Yeah.
I know there's other things that I've thought of.
I mean, I would say I wish we had a more G1 accurate, cartoon accurate Optimus Prime, but we have that in Masterpiece. I wish that the Masterpiece wasn't so friggin' expensive, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
No.
I would love to have that toy, though. That and the Megatron for Masterpiece. That would be so awesome.
Yeah.
That would be a toy that I don't touch. Either one of them. Like if they came in robot mode, which I know they don't, they probably come in their alt modes, but once I transform them and get them into robot mode, I would put it on a shelf and never touch it ever again because fear of breaking it. You know?
Yeah.
That's like one of those things where, holy crap, this is a full cartoon accurate version of Optimus Prime. Don't touch it. You look with your eyes, not your hands. Well,
I've got the Masterpiece Prime and I love it, but,
you bastard.
Ha ha ha. But, yeah, I would get, I wish actually they'd go back and do some Masterpiece of some of the other series as well.
Well,
like
I guess,
show accurate.
Right. I mean, I guess we can kind of bring this up. This is more of a news story, but also there have been rumors and fake rumors and blah, 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 blah. The Masterpiece Starscream mold. There was something going on where a retailer in Japan got notification that a ghost version, which basically means clear plastic version of Starscream, Masterpiece Starscream, was coming. And then TFW reported, no, sorry, we're wrong, it's not coming, don't believe it, blah-de-blah, blah-blah. A week later, BBTS shows a pre-order for Masterpiece Ghost Starscream. It is confirmed. So Masterpiece Ghost Starscream is coming.
Whether you like it or not.
What the hell? I don't know. I wish... Here's what I want that hasn't been done yet. And I know... I don't know if Proto Man listens to this show at all, because I know we have him on ToyCast almost as a regular sometimes, just whenever we have the time to record with him. But the goddamn Proto Man is the huge Rodimus fanboy, just like I am, but he takes it to a whole nother level. I mean, he has Rodimus everything, Hot Rod everything, which is good because I love that character as well. I want a Masterpiece Hot Rod Rodimus figure. And I want one that you can... I don't know how they would pull this off in Masterpiece, but where you can change the size. So, like, you can transform him from Alt to Hot Rod. And then you can basically make him a triple changer that basically just changes robot mode size.
So make him from...
From Hot Rod, which is... Not really small, but it's smaller than the Rodimus. Make him from Hot Rod to Rodimus in the actual toy. I don't think that would happen. I would like it to happen. But hell, even if we got a Hot Rod or Rodimus Prime in Masterpiece, that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. A deformed, matrix-infused Scourge Masterpiece figure. That would be awesome.
I would probably buy that, but that's because I can do his voice.
Well, I just thought of that because I was thinking about, when I was thinking about Rodimus, I was thinking about that episode, Burden Hardest to Bear from G1, when Scourge put the Matrix inside himself and got all super deformed and stuff.
And he thought he could be the new Decepticon leader. I have the Matrix.
Masterpiece Galvatron. Made from the G1. Now, see, the only issue with that is, though, they would have to make it movie accurate, like the E-Hobby repaint was, the purple, not the original G1 figure colors.
No, it would definitely have to be like show accurate.
Yeah, and
for me to buy it,
and it would have to come with a gold Matrix chain. It doesn't have to actually be gold, but gold color. Like the E-Hobby one does. I think that would be so awesome. Again, you know, between Mighty Mugs and Masterpiece line, there's so many possibilities. Will they do them? Probably not. We can only hope. But if it's going to bring Hasbro more money, I don't see why they wouldn't.
True. I would love to see Hasbro actually... do some of these, you know, figures and accessory sets. However, I can't see any of it happening.
Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, if I had, which I don't, but, well, I have Nemesis Prime, but I don't have the Shadow Commander armor. If I had the Shadow Commander armor, that figure, well, he is in robot mode already, but that figure would stay in robot mode all of the time. Because that armor set, both for City and Shadow Commander, is just a awesome upgraded, you know, I'm going to kick you in your ass figure. Unfortunately, for some odd reason, I can't find the Shadow Commander armor at a decent price anymore, so, oh well.
Yeah, I would probably buy that except for the fact that I don't have that figure.
Let's see, BBTS did a listing at one point where you could buy them together. You could buy the Nemesis Prime figure and the Shadow Commander armor in one set, and it was like $140. I don't mind spending that, but I already have the Nemesis Prime figure, so I don't know. I'm trying to think what else. More universe. I mean, they can always do more universe. I would.
Oh yeah, no
I would
doubt.
See a Universe Classics 2.0 G1 inspired version of Astro Train. And I don't mean that bullet train crap that we had. I want basically an updating of G1 Astro Train. I want the locomotive. I don't give a shit about the fucking bullet train.
Yeah, it'd be nice to actually see, but...
Yes.
That would require Hasbro to actually make something new.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's a mold out there that they could use. And just apply it to Astro Train.
True.
I'm not really sure. Let me look him up, actually, really quick. You have anything else that you want to see Hasbro do?
A really good TV show?
Hey. Animated was good.
True.
Alright, I'm on Astro Train's page here on the wiki, and I'm just looking him up to see what other, let me actually look in the contents here. Toys. Where the hell's the toys? Here we go. He did have a Classics version and a Henke version, but it's the Bullet Train. Now, I don't mind the Henke version. I wouldn't mind having that, even though it is the bullet train, but that robot mode for the Henke version looks cool because of the color scheme. I can send you the link here. Copy. And then there was the reissues done by Galaxy Show prototype Astro Train toy, whose gray and purple color scheme is one used in the cartoon.
This part has been edited. Ha ha ha! You'll never know what was actually here.
You know, I wish that they, you know, so basically we've only had one updating of Astro Train since the G1 toy, which is the Classics one that came out in 06, and then Henke released their version in 2008. So I don't know as far as a masterpiece where they... I would assume they could just take... I don't know what they would do if they were going to ever do a masterpiece. I wish they would. Because...
Yes, I definitely would like to see a masterpiece.
Yeah. The only issue is I don't know how they would work that because of the fact that he is a triple changer. So far, we haven't had a triple changer masterpiece figure.
Well, they need to figure it out.
Yes, they need to figure... Ooh, masterpiece Soundwave. That would be cool.
I would definitely buy that.
Giant-ass tape deck? Oh, yeah. Well,
and they wouldn't even need that much, really. I mean, they could actually technically use most of what's in Optimus Prime.
True.
Because I've seen so many kit bashes that uses the Prime model that it's not even funny.
True. But, I mean, alright. When I was posting videos for dumbass Springer on the boards. Did you look at those at all? Pia's review of Masterpiece Megatron?
No, I did not.
It's under a G1 Megatron question. If you look at those videos of Pia when he talked about G1 Masterpiece Megatron, Masterpiece Megatron is basically, he's a BFG. I mean, he is his G1 gun form, but it's like 10 times the size of the G1 gun form. I may be exaggerating a little bit on that point, but it's like a big giant fucking gun. So what I'm saying is, with the Masterpiece Soundwave, if there ever was a Masterpiece Soundwave, it would be a giant fucking tape deck, and that would be kind of... I would hope that they would do that. I would hope that they would do a giant fucking tape deck. Unfortunately, I don't think they will, because a lot of people nowadays don't know what a tape deck is.
True.
Anyone that was born after 1987 or 88 and pretty much lived through the 90s doesn't know what a friggin' tape deck is, because by that time, CDs had taken off.
Yes, everybody's like, huh? What? CD player MP3? I had a tape deck. Those were the days.
My mom had an 8-track machine. Oh my god, I'm showing my age. Holy fucking crap.
You have to hit the rewind button every time you wanted to get something instead of just hitting forward.
Yeah.
Forward.
I know. So anyway, my thoughts for Masterpiece, we need Astro Train somehow, all three forms. And we need Soundwave. Oh, wow. You know what I just realized?
Yes.
If we got Masterpiece Soundwave at the size that he would be for the Masterpiece mold, that's going to be one fucking huge cassette if they make cassettes to go with him.
But the cassettes would be realistic in size.
True, true.
Or... damn near.
True.
Yeah. I would still buy that. I did want to buy the Masterpiece Megatron until I saw that it's not really that great quality.
What do you mean it's not really that great?
Well, I mean it is, but it's not. I mean, there's still issues with it, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it does have a
It's not as show accurate as it could have been.
Oh, see, that's where I disagree. I think it's very show accurate. Let me pull up an image of it first really quick here. Let's see. Megatron. G1. Let's see. And I didn't mind the Astro Train repaint or the reissue. The book box reissue from Toys R Us, he was black and white. I wish he was purple and black, but it's not like it overly deterred me from owning it. All right, toys from Megatron. All right, where's Masterpiece? What? Megatron G1 toys. Here we go. Okay, sorry about the delay here, folks. You're just looking stuff up.
Yes. At least we're more prepared this episode.
Yeah, at least it's gone on longer than what it usually goes on for.
Yeah, that's why I kind of wanted to move it to discussion-based. At least then it would carry the show.
Yes, very much so.
Because news is dead.
Yes. Here we go. Megatron 2000... No, that's smallest transform. Damn it, where the hell's the damn Masterpiece?
I'll be right back.
Okay. Got it, I think. Scaled to the same height as 20th Anniversary Optimus Prime, Masterpiece Convoy, Masterpiece Megatron. So, Masterpiece Megatron, looking at him in a picture here, which I have to send to Steve because he's off dealing with his animals. Wow. What in the hell... Okay, that's a little different. Masterpiece Megatron is show accurate. He's not completely show accurate, but he is... Ooh, they have a sports label Megatron as a shoe. What the fuck? That makes no damn sense. So, I'm trying to find more images of... Ooh, Mighty Mugs Megatron. Anyways, so I'm just kind of like, you know, shooting the shit here, guys, because, you know, like I said, Steve pretty much abandoned me.
Not really. I
like usual.
An important phone call for my wife.
Please.
We may have a new segment for GCR.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I'm actually very scared about that.
Here, hold on just a second. My dog's about to barf.
What? That's so wrong. Damn it. Well, anyways, what I suggest that Steve do is go over to PredaconEmpire.com/Nexus and look in the G1 Megatron question thread where I posted the video reviews from PIA for the Masterpiece Megatron, because it's much better looking at it in video than it is in image, because the images I'm finding just aren't doing it for me. G1 Megatron question... where's a stupid Masterpiece thing? And I find it very strange that some people on the PredaconEmpire.com/Nexus boards cannot watch videos at work, which sucks. Thank God I work from home. And again, I'm shooting the shit here because Steve is MIA as usual, canceling shows and moving shows and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, this is not one of my mornings. Jesus Christ.
Well, at least we had 42 minutes prior to this of good discussion that isn't interrupted. But I did just post you the link to the forum page where I posted those videos. Just watch those. We can talk about it kind of off-air after we're done, and we can argue about the show accuracy. I think the Masterpiece Megatron is show accurate. There are a little bit bits and pieces of him that aren't. But overall...
Well, most of my bitch with it is the legs. I mean, I know there's not much they can do with it, considering they have to make it a gun.
Right.
But I still hate the legs. I can't get past it. If I could get past the legs, I wouldn't mind it.
So then what's your... Then do you have an issue with the G1 toy legs?
The original?
Yeah.
I fucking hate the original figure.
Oh, God, okay.
I would all buy right. This one before I buy that.
Now. Oh, wow. But, I mean, you have to admit, though, the Masterpiece version is a more two-scale, cartoon-accurate version.
Yes, they did do a hell of a lot better job on this one.
But, I mean, you got to understand, Masterpiece, they're basically taking the original toys, the original G1 toys, and updating them to be more... Okay, take Optimus, and, I mean, I know you have him, you dumb bastard, but, you know, if you take Optimus... His back isn't open. You can't see right through his fucking windshield on the Masterpiece, whereas the G1 figure, you open up his back to form his arms, and it's just fucking open. That's one of my biggest... I love G1 Prime. Don't get me wrong. I will always love G1 Optimus Prime, both the toy and the cartoon. But I'm sorry, that toy fucking sucks because the back isn't closed. The Masterpiece version, the back is closed.
Yeah... I do love that about my Masterpiece figure. It is between show and it's between the cartoon and the comic in accuracy.
Right, exactly.
Which I really like.
Yes. So I think before anything else happens this morning, we're gonna have to cut this a little short. Not really a little short. You've had 53 minutes of discussion, which is actually quite
more than usual.
Well, quite surprising from us, considering this is a 5 o'clock in the morning record, so...
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, this is probably the longest episode we've done at 5 a.m. ever on ATTF, because normally our 5 a.m. records are like 20, 30 minutes. By the time the 28-minute mark comes, oh, well, we really don't have anything else to say, and, yeah, we'll see you later, bye! So...
Yeah.
You want to take us out there, Megatron?
Well, Years. Anyways, feel free to contact us via email or the voicemail line and or Twitter. And yes, I actually have a written up script that I'm going to pre-record so I can slap those on the end of these.
Okay.
Probably not today, but I'm going to do one.
I was
going to
say I could modify the ones I used for you.
So well, I wrote one at work okay. Like a couple weeks ago. I've just been too lazy to do anything, so I might actually use it.
Okay.
So, anyways, this is Steve Megatron signing off.
And TFG and Mike, see you later.
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.